I opened this meeting for Wednesday, October 25th, and we have a quorum, and we have no recognitions or proclamations, so we go directly to the consent calendar. Consent calendar or routine items or things we've previously heard. Is there anything you'd like to highlight or delete?
No. Move approval.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We get down to discussion and information, an intergovernmental agreement between Lincoln County Public Works and Oregon Parks and Recreation Department for the construction.
Decision items?
Oh. There were two decision items, Mr. Chair.
Oh, excuse me. I jumped over that.
Yeah, point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, okay. Excuse me. I wanted to get done early.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Sorry to derail.
You know, when I look over that, and it's...
It looks like it's part of the consent calendar.
So I apologize for that little error.
No worry.
We have a resolution adopting the provision of ORS 307.540 through 307.548 for the exemption of property tax for the nonprofit corporations low income housing in the city of Newport.
Mr. Chair, I think even though I wasn't at the meeting last week, I watched the video and we also discussed it the previous week. I'm certainly ready to move forward. I saw, did Mr. Belmont want to say something?
The only thing is just to note that I did send a draft of the resolution over to the city of Newport, their staff. We do have a couple small corrections, and mainly it's about the city actually, after they adopted their ordinance, in the codification of their ordinance into the municipal code, they changed the numbering. So it differs from what was on the back of the ordinance. I've got the correct numbering in this resolution, and actually it's the same thing for the next resolution. So I just wanted to note for the record that we have the correct citations to the municipal code for the city of Newport.
Okay. And otherwise that was the only...
That was the only other change.
Okay.
So
I'll move for approval of the resolution adopting the provisions of ORS 307.540 through 307.548 for exemption from property tax for nonprofit corporation low-income housing in the city of Newport, implementing city ordinance number 2116.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Then item B is adopting the provision for ORS 307.600 to 307.637 for the exemption from property tax for qualifying multi-unit properties in portion of the city of Newport.
Commissioners, if I might, on this one, there is one other slight change on this one in the whereas, the third whereas clause, just to reemphasize that this applies for rental housing, not for other multiple family housing. I did add the word rental to that particular whereas clause, but otherwise, again, it has the same changes in the municipal code citations, but otherwise it's the same.
Okay.
And this resolution differs from the prior one in that the projects that are approved for exemption will have an opportunity to look at those.
Yes, you will.
All right, I'll make a motion for approval of Resolution 17-25-10, adopting provisions of ORS 307.600 to 307.637 for exemption from property tax for qualifying multi-unit properties in portions of the city of Newport, implementing city ordinance number 2115.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Discussion and information. Intergovernmental agreement between Lincoln County Public Works and Oregon Parks and Recreation Department for the construction of the Oregon Coast Trail in the area of Autocrest Loop.
Well, good morning. About a year ago, Oregon Parks approached Public Works with a proposal to extend the Oregon Coast Trail starting at Rodeo Point, which is at the north end of Autocrest Loop, up and over Autocrest Loop over fall weather, down to 3rd Street, and then from 3rd Street over to their park down near Devil's Punch Bowl. The trail will make use of course, Autocrest Loop. We have that one-way section on the north side where we already have a pedestrian and bicycle pathway. So the proposal is that we would widen Autocrest Loop from Rodeo Point to the one-way section of Autocrest Loop. Then at the top, at fall weather, they would do some boardwalk work. And then on the south side of Autocrest Loop, those sections which where we can't widen the road, which is what the trail would be, is on the shoulder of our existing road, that they would put some boardwalk around the guardrail to get people off, because it's rather narrow through there, to get people off the roadway. I look at this as an improvement project that benefits both the citizens of Lincoln County as well as statewide as far as extending this trail. The cost of the county's work as far as widening Autocrest Loop is about $280,000. And the state, of course, is going to build their boardwalks and that kind of thing. I think they're somewhere around the same amount for what they're doing. So it's a pretty straightforward project. Any questions? Yes.
Okay, I know Autocrest Loop fairly well, and a lot of that's in the shade.
Okay.
So a boardwalk doesn't take long before it slimes up with moss and mold and all that. Who's going to maintain that boardwalk? Because that could be a pretty big expense in the future as it starts to deteriorate.
That's all parks.
That's all parks.
The public works or the county has no responsibility for the condition of the boardwalks.
Okay.
Well, I would have trust in parks to do that, although, you know, it's always good to be skeptical. I think we remember when the median went in on 101 in Lincoln Beach back in the late 80s, and ODOT said, yep, we're going to keep it nice and landscaped, and, well, if you consider weeds to be a nice landscaping. But, yeah, that's a very good point, Commissioner Thompson. I think we ought to be aware, at least, if we do, if this does come to pass and we hear about it not being maintained, that we'll have to kind of help bird dog state parks like we do with a lot of state agencies sometimes.
Is it possible to even put that in the contract, that it has to be maintained at a certain level? Because, you know, some kind of a maintenance agreement on it that's even more explicit, that this is can't just go into deterioration, because I'm not sure. I'd like to see a map of how that trail is constructed, but if you're talking about expanding it, I assume you'll have to go to the west side.
Yes.
And that could be real dangerous if it's not kept at a high maintenance standard, because that is one steep cliff down the side of that.
It is. And I've looked at their design drawings for that boardwalk and how they're going to put their piles in and that kind of thing. And you're absolutely right, it would be very dangerous if it wasn't kept up and the maintenance kept up on it. At this point, the county has no, as far as my understanding and our discussions with Parks Department, is that the county has no maintenance responsibility on those boardwalks.
Could we ask Mr. Belmont if he's had a chance to review this agreement yet?
My office did. Mr. Herbert reviewed the agreement. The agreement doesn't address the ongoing maintenance responsibilities. If that's something you want us to just confirm, we can actually do that.
I think that would be nice.
I think it would be nice to conclude it, because I see a potential problem that could arise if budget cuts happen in the state, and they're making budget cuts that they just make that. It wouldn't be a priority in their program unless we explicitly mention the danger part of it.
Okay. So what we should do then is go back and look at our agreement and see if we can't get some verbiage that specifically addresses maintenance in the future.
And the risk, the danger of that, if you go to the west side of that. Because a person in Salem has never been on that road, they won't understand it. They'll just whack it. They'll just budget line it out, and then all of a sudden we're sitting there with a hazard in our county.
And I totally understand, because there are some areas up there that have a great view.
Put
it that way. It's got a great view. Okay.
I was, when I was a kid, if you can imagine how old this is, that was the main road.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We used to get the bus going over to Salem on that narrow, windy road.
Ooh.
And you can get a great view. I still remember it.
Oh, yeah.
The new section of 101 that replaced it opened in 1958, I think.
Okay, don't push it, okay?
Can I ask Steve another question? And I don't know if you'd know this or not, but I know the legislature, there was some action this year, and even though it's a long way from being completed as a continuous trail, that the state, I get the impression, is kind of prioritizing expansion of the Oregon Coast Trail. And so is this part of that effort, as far, you know?
What's the right word? Influenced or mm-hmm. or encouraged mm-hmm. this agreement
and
this
wondering.
Project.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think they got funding right after that.
Oh, interesting. And so you said the state roughly putting in $280,000 and then our cost $280,000. Is that just going to come out of our general road funds or?
Well, actually, the $280,000 is what the state will pay Public Works to do the work.
Oh,
now,
okay.
their side of it, I'm not sure exactly on what the total grant was for them to do this work.
Okay.
I just know our part's $280,000, and that matches the original estimate I came up with about a year ago.
So nothing out of local road funds?
Yes. No.
Okay.
This is
good to clarify that.
It's a benefit in that that's a very narrow section mm-hmm. of road up through mm-hmm. there, and I think, you know, having a 4-foot shoulder on there, mm-hmm. it's not a bad idea.
Right.
So I guess further clarification, mm-hmm. I've driven that road a few times, although not in a school bus or ridden in it. But it's narrow in some places and one way in some places. Is that going to be addressed?
Well, the one-way section that exists now will continue to be a one-way section because it's a narrow road all the way up and down.
Is the trail going to align with that part of the road?
On the one-way section, we're going to utilize the existing pedestrian path or walkway that we have through there because it's one-way, and then we got maybe a 4 or 5 foot pedestrian walkway that goes from the top of Fall Weather north to Rodeo Point.
Right.
Okay. And so on the other side is where we're going to do the main part of our work, which is widen the roadway, give a little 4-foot shoulder through there, which is going to take a little bit of work because some sections it's pretty much straight down. And in those sections where we have guardrail, that's where they're going to build their boardwalk on the outside of the guardrail.
All right, then again, last question, just to clarify Commissioner Hall's question. So the $280,000 is the expense to the county, but will be reimbursed by parks. And is there any other additional ongoing expense as a result of this project?
As far as road maintenance, it would be treated, that shoulder would be treated just like our roadway.
So it wouldn't really change anything?
No. Okay. I mean, if it got rutted or maybe slumped or something like that, we would deal with it the same way we would our road.
Okay.
That's all. Yeah. Just another little bit of historical context, not essential, but I think interesting. Remember that even though the state bypassed the Otter Crest Loop a long time ago, it remained under ODOT's jurisdiction until 2005 when we entered into the agreement with ODOT to take the Otter Crest Loop immediately and then what is now Crystal Creek Loop at the time the new section of Highway 20 opened. And I just recall, and I'm sure Commissioner Thompson does at the time, I think the Board of Commissioners went to a community meeting in Otter Crest, and there was a lot of skepticism on whether the county would have the commitment and ability to maintain it as well as the state did. And I remember Commissioner Lindley a few months later saying that one of the most vocal critics at the meeting had called him and said, "I got to eat my words. You're doing a much better job than the state ever did in maintaining this." So just kudos to our Public Works. That's why I wanted to bring that up.
Thank you for an accurate history lesson.
Anytime, Commissioner.
Okay, it's a great project.
Yes.
It's a beautiful section of the Oregon coast that I don't think a lot of the public takes advantage of it. Maybe this will be help people to take more advantage of it.
Okay, so we're going to go back and we're going to try to beat this up a little bit about the maintenance of the boardwalks.
We can get some kind of, something to give us some assurance that we're not somehow going to get stuck in the future if they have budget cuts.
Well, we want the state's responsibility and that it will be a priority because of the safety issues if it's not maintained.
Okay. Real good. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. So whenever that's ready, we'll bring it back to the agenda.
Yes.
Okay.
We go down to reports, I think. Yeah, I'm skipping over stuff. I may just adjourn this now.
That's okay.
Any elected officials' reports?
I'm going to pass, sir.
I'll give a quick report about my testimony before the Oregon Transportation Commission last Thursday in Silverton. This is the annual meeting, and the ACT chairs, I believe there are 11 in the state, were there, and also representatives of some of the multimodal transportation committees. Really three things to point out. Number one, I spoke in favor of the transfer facility site that has the potential to be located at the old International Paper site in Millersburg. The legislature set $25 million aside for the development of a transfer facility, and that is one of the sites that could be utilized. Second of all, there was really discussion about how to allocate three pots of money. There's fix-it money, which really is to maintain the existing transportation system, highway system. There's safety funds and there's enhanced funds, and enhanced funds, as you may be able to figure out, would be in adding or improving to the highway systems. Virtually all of the ACT chairs spoke in favor of allocating the money, and this is really money that's being raised through the transportation package that was passed by the legislature last session. My feeling and the feeling of most of the people in the room was it doesn't make sense to be adding a lot of new transportation highways in an era when we really don't have enough money to maintain what we have. So there were three different proposals that were discussed, and basically the three differences were use of enhanced dollars. One added some money to enhance. The second proposal kept the enhanced funding at the current level. And the third proposal actually eliminated any enhanced funding. And most of the people and I supported keeping the enhanced funding at the existing level, but using the additional dollars that are available for fix-it and safety projects. And the last thing I had an opportunity to talk about, and this is something the Transportation Commission has heard before, is the fact that Highway 101 is the economic artery, if you will, of the entire coast for our state. And there is money for seismic improvements, and those become, I think, critically important when you talk about the eventuality of a Cascadia subduction event and what type of means will be available to deliver goods and resources to the coastal counties. So talked about the fact that we need to continue to keep Highway 101 in mind, maybe even address Goal 18 and look at some ways to have some exemptions that still honor the concept, but recognize with new technology there may be ways to improve and reinforce seismically the highway along the coast. So it was a good meeting and good opportunity to represent Cascade West ACT, which is Lincoln, Benton, and Linn counties.
So was there any discussion in that meeting about alternate routes? Because one of the problems with the Highway 101 is we have a lack of alternate routes around a lot of sections of the coast.
Not specifically on that topic. There was talk about the fact to have seismic improvements to some of the existing routes so that bridges and other areas would be more likely to withstand it, but not new or alternate routes. But a good point.
That's one of the subjects I hope you'll bring up in the future, because I think that's our one. We have not done a good job of constructing any kind of alternate routes around critically. There's areas that are more seismically going to have more problems than other areas, and it seems like there it would be Hoop is to have a separate route that could be opened up easily if we needed to.
No, I start the point now.
Yeah, and I think
bring that forward.
Are you thinking, Mr. Chair? I mean, like one idea I know that you've been advocating for years, like the punching through the road from south end of Lincoln City to Siletz, and not only being a great emergency alternative, but on an ongoing basis, I think that would be a helpful transportation linkage. And I know roads are expensive, but that's a short enough route. I would think that could be within the realm of possibility.
Well, that's one. And the other one that I've always been interested in is the bridge that probably will hold up the longest in a bad situation is the one right by the Toledo Mill.
Oh, yes.
It's Butler Bridge, I think.
Oh, maybe. Butler Bridge, yeah.
And then you have to have a route from there back to the coast somewhere to come across. And we've never really decided this is the right route and to start to make sure we have all the connections and all the pieces of land so that we can just go for it if we have to.
Well, I think Butler Bridge, but I also think the bridge at Beverly Creek is one that is a new bridge, but it'd be interesting to see how that holds up and whether or not there's a road connecting to it if there's a seismic event. So good thoughts, and certainly I believe in planting seeds that you can nurture, and that's a good one to plant.
Okay. I'll just mention it's open meeting season for me instead of open elk season for most people. I was just looking at my schedule. I got the State of the Coast Saturday, which is in Florence, and then Ocean Policy Committee and Coastal Marine Extension meeting just in the next week, and one's in Florence, one's in Astoria, and one's here. So I'll be here for the meeting, but I'm going to be driving a lot, so just be aware of this next week. That's And I have the other meetings that we got coming in November. Of course, AOC is the big one, which
yes.
We're gone.
Yes.
Start date on that is
Tuesday. Well, Monday night, the 13th. There's, I think, going to be some pre-conference events, but the conference itself is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 14th, 15th, and 16th.
I think we're going to talk on the Indian Treaty on Monday night, isn't it?
I haven't seen the schedule,
oh, okay.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, and, of course, then there's the ONC lands, which are right. You at? And I know you've each got a bunch of meetings, but for me, this is open meeting season.
Yeah, at that AOC conference, I'll be presiding as president, and that's essentially my last big task in the presidential job. And then I continue on the executive committee of AOC for another year as immediate past president. That'll wrap up my four-year leadership commitment there. It's been a great experience, and I really, I was interviewed, I think, on one of the local radio stations, and I said the reason I've enjoyed it, but mostly because it's given me a new platform to put the rural and the coastal viewpoint forward to key people in Salem and D.C. to make decisions that affect us.
So is Trump listening to you?
No, not pro, not con. I haven't come on his radar screen yet. But, you know, seriously, though, a lot of commissioners are saying, at least in the natural resource agencies, they do feel like there is a new atmosphere in some of those agencies that the word has actually filtered down from some level saying, you know, let's work a little harder to listen to local communities in the West and try and work with them. So, of course, whether that really translates into policy change, I think it's still too soon to tell, but at least the signs are there.
At least the signs are there.
No constituent input, so next Wednesday, November 1st at 9:30, we're back here at the Board of Commissioners room. But that meeting adjourned.